The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Right there, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed. Stick the index finger into the air. Hour number one of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning. Broadcasting so you don't have to. Bang that cowbell one more time, especially if you're on the west side. Oh, you're on the west side, and maybe you're trapped, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe you're feeling trapped. Maybe you're waiting. Maybe you're caught in traffic. Maybe, as a matter of fact, doom and despair surrounds you right now because you're not going to get to work till 10.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
It's open now, but the backup is still there. It's bad.
Pretty brutal this morning, was it not?
It was. Good morning. Thanks for waking up with the two of us. Let me totally admit this up front at 6:02 this morning. I am completely and totally unprepared for the next 4 hours of my life.
Yeah.
And it's very free feeling, I have to admit.
Here we go. You know what? Right now, you might think it's bad, right? You might think it's bad. You've got some issues maybe you've got to overcome in your life, right? Listen to this right here. A group of volunteers in the United Kingdom. Think about this. A group of volunteers in the United Kingdom agreed to expose themselves to live whooping cough bacteria for science. Think about this stuff right here. This is something Yoda would have done, ladies and gentlemen. Our former producer, of course. This is something that Yoda would have done. Ladies and gentlemen, there's two types of people in the world. Those that would go ahead and expose themselves to whooping cough, the bacteria, for science, and those that would not. And I fall into the latter, but Ryan Lindsay, a.k.a. Yoda, he would have done this. Researchers, listen to this. They dripped the bacteria into participants' noses under controlled conditions. Can you imagine? I mean, honestly, on this Friday right here, bang the cowbell, ladies and gentlemen. On this cowbell Friday, hey, you know what? Let me lay down, and I'm going to take this bacteria. How gross is this? And I'm going to drip it down your nasal passage. Somebody said, you know what, man? Yeah, you know what I want to do? Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Yeah, I'll do it.
Where do you find these things?
I just was scanning the news, generally speaking, and this is going on in the United Kingdom in the year 2018 of our Lord. It's amazing. These people, they're exposing themselves to this infection. Yeah, Bear, yes, you have something to say.
Are they getting paid at least?
I you know what? Honestly,
I'm going to assume
I didn't
the answer
get that,
to that is yes.
I didn't get that deep into the article. Okay, I didn't. I couldn't get over the first paragraph where they dripped it. How disgusting is that?
If you read further, is Pete Carroll among the volunteers? He's in London.
No. As a matter of fact, it does not specify. I had a hard time getting past the first couple of paragraphs. Does that make sense? Just the fact that these people, you know what? Hey, I want you to lay down. I'm going to take this thing. I'm going to drip it right down your... It's so gross. That is so nasty. Thinking of whooping cough bacteria, literally being in this, it had to be a syringe, right? I mean, there was something there.
You look at me like I'm a whooping cough dropping bacteria expert.
It had to be something, right? I mean, they squirted it down your nasal passage. Just to see how your body was going to be how it would react, I guess, is what they did. And I just, honestly, it's all I can think of right now for the first hour of the show. It's just going to be the gross feeling of it dripping. Oh, the dripping, and the dripping of the whooping cough.
Somewhat speaking of which, since Wolf referred to the west side, there was the interstate on the west side was closed for a while. It's open now, but it was closed. It took me an hour and 15 minutes to get to work today.
Yeah.
And So therefore, I had a lot of time to flip back and forth between our station, and then I was also listening to the news station that we own here in the building to hear some traffic updates. And I heard a story on the news station about we're at the number right now, I believe it was said at 4%.
4%.
We're at the point now where 4% of children have zero vaccinations. Their parents are so anti-vaccinations that they haven't been vaccinated for anything.
Okay.
And for you to say
4%ers.
Yeah. So for you, you're sitting here going, looking at the whooping cough. That's not even an epidemic of figuring out, okay, how do we drop whooping cough live bacteria into your nose? And yet there's going to be a kid at your school that totally has not been that could be a carrier that's just walking around.
Yeah. Like Yoda.
Yeah,
Yoda was
the
carrier.
Yeah.
Yoda was that guy.
Yoda claimed he didn't get sick, but everybody around him always got sick. So we always just thought he must be some kind of carrier.
He did. There's no doubt about it. He was a carrier. But what else is on your mind this morning, Doug Lee? So other than traffic, of course, and whooping
cough. Traffic. Just traffic.
Just traffic whooping cough right there.
The people that take the emergency lane to pass other people that are still trying to get to work.
You know, let me just say this quickly, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be very interesting today because I don't know if you happen to get this presser that's going to happen today, right? At 10:30, as a matter of fact. Are you going, Douglas? Are you not to put you on the spot or anything like that, but are you going down for
number two,
the James Jones presser? Are you going to do that?
Or? Number two.
Number two. Okay, it's number two, and proceed.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll back off.
And now,
I didn't know it was
it's time for your Arizona sports starting five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
I picked up on it after the
Here's
second time.
Here's DeFrantz and Ron Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince.
Leading off at number five.
Number five this morning. It's going to hurt, Wolf, but in the end, it'll feel pretty good. Right now, according to FPI, that is the ranking for the 2019 NFL draft, the highest opportunity for any team to get the number one overall pick at 35% is your Arizona Cardinals.
No, it makes sense.
They got a 35% chance of getting the number one pick. And when you look at the 2019 draft, get very excited. Anything you don't need if you're a Cardinals fan is not in the draft. And anything you're dying to get your hands on, it's in this draft. Pass rushers, offensive tackles, wide receivers.
So you say it's 35%. Is that it, Douglas?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
That's what will happen when you start 0-4, and now you're 1-4 on the season with a rookie quarterback.
Number four.
Number four this morning is NLCS Game 1. Dodgers at Brewers, 5:09 on ESPN 620. And then as soon as Burns and Gambo are over, we'll go straight to it. Here we go.
You got to give them the best you got. And the way I told counsel is like any way you need me, any style of pitching, I'm in. You know, this is an opportunity I get to share with a bunch of great guys, and hopefully, you know, we can continue our success and keep riding the high that we're living right now.
That's Gio Gonzalez talking about it, who was a former National and is now pitching for the Brewers.
It's the NLCS, Basinonians, and the only thing I can think of is Joe Boo.
Really, I can think of two things. One, go Brewers. Two, they are starting Clayton Kershaw in Game 1, which they didn't do in the NLDS.
Yeah, I like pitching every fifth day. I like pitching deep into the games. And, yeah, you know, ideally you'd like to finish them. Obviously, that doesn't happen very much. But, you know, I just, as a starting pitcher, you kind of take pride in innings and, you know, being out there. So I think that's kind of what I meant.
The only other thought I have is, what will Yasiel Puig do?
He might headbutt an air conditioner.
What will he do in this series? Because we're going to be talking about Yasiel somehow, someway.
Number three.
Number three this morning is Thursday Night Football. The complete meltdown again by Odell Beckham Jr. And Pat Shurmur was asked if the guys are giving effort.
I just said I'm not worried about their effort. I'm worried. Listen, didn't he ask me about effort? And then I said I wasn't concerned about their effort. Right? Here we go again. Wasn't concerned about their effort. I'm concerned about how we executed and how we didn't get in the end zone and how we let them in the end zone.
Boy, it's getting bad right now.
Yes, it is.
Pat Shurmur right now. This is way too early to be this on point.
We're already at the point where you're asking Eli Manning, are you confident you're a starting quarterback in the NFL?
My confidence in myself is good. You know, I know I can. We can play. Just a matter of we just got to figure out how to be more consistent and be better on offense.
Boy, it's getting bad.
It's so bad that the question is being asked, should you have drafted what might be the best player in the NFL draft.
Pat Shurmur, are you long for New York?
Number two.
Number two this morning, a shock to Ron Wolfley, is today, 10:30 this morning, there is a James Jones press conference.
Yes, interesting, Douglas. Are you actually going to go to the James Jones press conference?
I don't know. At 10:30 in the morning, it might be hard to get there.
Okay, I think I'm going to run down there as fast as I possibly can. Run out of here, ladies and gentlemen. And yet, I have no expectation whatsoever. I don't even know what I want to hear him say. That's weird.
For me, it's not what I want to hear James Jones say. I want to know one thing. Is he the only guy up at the table? Because if he is, nothing's changed for this organization.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning is,
he's commanding the offense. You know, he's been playing very well, throwing the ball at a high completion percentage rate. And then, you know, you talk about the two receivers, Thielen and Diggs. Those guys make plays.
That's Al Holcomb, and that's what he's got to stop. And they haven't stopped a lot of people yet this year. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Welcome to your Football Friday. Good morning. If this is when you always listen, the 6 o'clock hour, see what you can do to listen to us in the 7 o'clock hour when you get 30 straight minutes of hardcore football with John Clayton at 7:30 and the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, Steve Keim, coming up at 7:45 this morning. You guys getting on a plane leaving tomorrow for Minnesota, and I had forgotten that you have been there to the new stadium.
Yeah.
I've heard zero people go there and not love it.
It's absolutely,
you know what I mean?
Beautiful. It's so cool. It really is. It's kind of built like a long ship to begin with, right? I mean, it has the stern, it's got a bow. It's very, very interesting. Very cool place to actually watch a game. Also very loud, as you would imagine. But yeah, you know what? I was impressed. So was Dave. So was Paul. When we all went there, right? We were all very impressed.
I'm really interested in this matchup, even though I admit I don't see the Cardinals. The question is, are the Cardinals going to become, is it going to be a close game or a big loss to me? It's not, the Cardinals going to win?
Competitive or not.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to even remotely come close to winning. I just care, okay, are you going to be close? And then I'd love to recant and be able to celebrate a victory. There's zero Buffalo sports talk show host that thought the Bills were going to beat the Vikings.
Yes.
You know, and it happened. So we know it can happen. But I want to talk about what the Cardinals' defense is going to do, but I admit, as I focus on the Cardinals' defense, to me, the biggest defender for the Cardinals this week is David Johnson. I can't get through that
really
prism of if you're going to stop the weapons that Minnesota's offense has, the way to do it is to have those weapons on the bench. And I know that's an old cliche,
sure,
and it's easy to go there, but I can't get through that. If we don't see the real David Johnson and a real performance from the offensive line, I think Thielen's going to torch you. I think Kirk Cousins is going to torch you. I think it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, listen, there are so many different facets of this game we need to talk about and will talk about, Basin Onions, but the Cardinals have to force the Vikings to play to their strength. That much I do know. And the Cardinals' strength is on the defensive side of the ball in third and obvious pass situations. That is their strength. It's the number one reason why. I was talking about early in the season, right? If there's one thing the Arizona Cardinals have got to do, it's stop the run. And the reason why is if they can't stop the run, it's going to set off a chain reaction in which I don't see the Arizona Cardinals doing very well from a perspective of winning games. Because of that, right? I mean, they've got to be able to get Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings in third and obvious pass situations. And oh, by the way, even then, Kirk Cousins in the Minnesota Vikings, number three in passing yards per game.
Oh, that's
right.
Fantastic.
In the number six in third down offense, converting. This is a very, very good offense in terms of throwing the football. Now, listen, I know the Cardinals have given up some first downs in third and obvious pass situations, and I know the Vikings can chuck the ball with the best of them, but this is undeniably the strength of this team. They need to force third and obvious pass situations with Kirk Cousins. They need to be more fundamentally sound, Douglas.
Here's Steve Wilks from a couple of days ago just staring down the Minnesota offense.
I think, you know, Cousins doing a great job of running the offense. Very effective, as you just mentioned. They do a great job in getting the ball out quickly. You know, also their play action, even though they haven't been running the ball well. I know they want to try to establish that. Just listen to some of the things they've talked about over the last couple of weeks. But he does a great job, in my opinion, putting the ball where it needs to be.
Yeah, you know what, the play action he mentioned right there. Kirk Cousins loves play action, and the Minnesota Vikings use it a lot. This has always been a staple of Kirk Cousins and his game. He's very, very good in locating that. A lot of times, quarterbacks that use a lot of play action, some of them aren't very good at locating that safety or reading coverage when they turn around, because many times you're turning your back to coverage when you run play action.
And if you're weak at it, then you peak too early, and then the play action fake doesn't really work.
That's exactly right, Doug Lee. So, once again, Kirk Cousins, very, very good. They love to use play action. But, again, I was talking about fundamentally sound, the way they're going to have to be on third down and obvious pass situations. What does that mean? They need to set the edge and improve their perimeter defense in rundown situations. And the Minnesota Vikings, Basinonians, are going to attack the perimeter. They're going to attack the edge because so many teams have had success running the football against the Arizona Cardinals in terms of attacking that perimeter. They need not to allow the Vikings to run the ball. They can't allow the Vikings to run the ball. They just can't. If that happens, the Vikings haven't been able to run the ball against anybody. If that happens, if that gap integrity breaks down the way that we've seen, this could be a rout.
To your point, here's Al Holcomb about the mistakes.
There is frustration, you know, and at the end of the day, I stick to my guns in terms of we're going to just reteach it each and every day. We have to start all over at times and reteach basic fundamentals, basic run fits, gap control, hand violence, tackling, all of those things. To me, it's simple. It's a simple concept. That's my gap. I have it. My gap may move based on pullers and different things of that nature, but that's something that we have to get down.
That's deep right there.
Yeah, I'd love to see Robert Kimdiji actually be ready to go and play in this
game. Just listening to him there, because think about it. We noticed this problem 10 minutes into the season. Watching them play the Redskins, and the Redskins continually running the football through the outside, finding C gaps that were wide open. And then, unfortunately, if you're a Redskins fan, you watch the Redskins in the offensive line that still has never played that well again. So you know it was a Cardinals problem in that game. And now we're at week 6, and you still have the Cardinals defensive coordinator saying,
yes,
sometimes we have to go all the way back to the fundamentals and just reteach it.
Fundamentally,
that's
right?
Scary.
This is exactly what I'm talking about, Dougley's. Fundamentally sound. They have to be. They have to get the Minnesota Vikings into third and obvious pass situations, which again, plays into the strengths of the Arizona Cardinals defense. How do they do that? Fundamentally, again, they're going to have to be really, really good on the edge. They're going to have to improve that perimeter defense. They can't allow the Minnesota Vikings to run the ball against them. They need to tackle better than they have in any game so far this season. Mm-hmm. They need to tackle better, make the tackles count, and they need to reduce their penalties. Otherwise, Otherwise, you're going to get 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-3. That's exactly where the Minnesota Vikings want to be.
This isn't one of those hardcore stats. It's more, I'm in the press box, I'm watching the game on TV, so it's totally anecdotal. But doesn't it feel like the Cardinals don't get a lot of penalties called, but it's always third down? It's always a third down conversion, or it's always in the end zone for a new set of and goal to go. And again, I'm making that up. It's just a feeling. I don't have the stats to back it up. But it doesn't seem like it's a flag fest against the Cardinals defense.
No.
But the timing of everyone just seems like, oh, it would have been 4th-and-8 if it wouldn't. And then, oh, now there's a penalty.
Again, it's no guarantee, even when you get them in 3rd-and-obvious pass situations. But after watching their tackles, after watching their tackles on tape, ladies and gentlemen, and Riley Reiff, their left tackle, he's a guy that he may not play. He may not play on Sunday. He missed Wednesday and Thursday. Yeah, Wednesday and Thursday practice. I don't know what he's going to do today, but he may not play on Sunday. And if that is the case, boy, I'll tell you, they're in trouble. Because Rashad Hill, their right tackle, Oh, boy.
If you want to hear from guests like Steve Keim, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, subscribe to the Doug and Wolf podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast, and it's brought to you this week by PhoenixHousePainting.com. Coming up next, normally you go to a press conference because there's things that you have to hear, that you want to know about. Today, the Suns are having a press conference, and it's not about what we'll hear. There's one thing we have to see. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Burns and Gambo.
The Arizona Cardinals are looking to start a winning streak, but things will get tougher this Sunday.
So how can the offense produce against one of the better defenses in Minnesota?
Burns and Gambo, afternoons, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, Basinonians, Ron Wolfley here for my girl Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. You know, Raymond on West Turney Avenue called Carol to sell his home, and it needed some work, right? Carol was able to get him multiple offers in less than 3 days, most over asking price. Carol helped him with preparing the house and got it sold in no time, Basinonians. Carol did an amazing job helping Mike out on 3250 East Thunder Trail. Mike was in the process of building a new home, and his earnest money to the builder was non-refundable, Basinonians. Can you imagine? That was a scary proposition for Mike. But Mike was smart. He heard about Carol Royce and hired her immediately to sell his home. The bottom line, Carol delivered. Carol got Mike and his family an over-asking price offer in less than 6 days, and it closed. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're having problems with your realtor, if you're looking for a realtor, you need the best realtor in the basin, and that is Carol Royce. Here's the number, 480-776-5231. That's 480-776-5231, or go to carolhasthebuyers.com.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
So what does the woman who went to high school here and then abandoned the city, went to Oregon, and now comes to work in an ASU shirt have to say about the poll question today?
I went to high school in Tempe, so...
Yeah. Then why did you go to school there?
Why do you wear ASU stuff, Doug?
Because I have all this free stuff laying around that they gave me. I might
okay,
as well.
Okay, well, same thing with my shirt. How many games will the Suns win this season?
Wait a minute, Maloney. You're not going to go ahead and actually give a shout-out to your high school, whatever high school that was in Tempe?
I went to Corona del Sol with Marvin Bagley. How about that?
Corona del Sol!
How about that? Burnsy also went there.
So are you a big Sacramento Kings fan now?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway, what is
I actually,
question?
Fun what? Fact, yeah. Darren Urban with the Cardinals, his wife was my English teacher for 2 years.
Take that, Darren Urban.
Take that.
All right, little shout out this morning to Del Sol.
That's pretty good.
Anyway, so how many games will the Suns win this season? 50% say 34 or more, 20% 28 to 30, 11% 25 to 27, 11% 31 to 33, and 8% say under 25.
Okay, so what? Boy, they won 21 games last year.
Those
right?
middle 21? Gaps, yeah. Those middle gaps are, I mean, there's a small window there.
All right, 21 games they won last year. How much better do I think they're going to be this year with DeAndre Ayton? I'm going to say 28 to 30. Is that ridiculous? Is that just losing my mind? I'm going to say 28 to 30, as a matter of fact. Better defense, right? Igor Kokoshkov coaching. I'm going to say 28 to 30.
Gosh, I'm going to say any of those under 30 are fine for me. I don't care. Anything under 30. I don't know how you can know what's going to happen at the point guard position. I got bad news. I think Devin Booker, if he's the point guard, is going to get hurt.
Well, speaking of, we threw up a question on Twitter. We asked Suns fans, James Jones is set to meet the media today. What is the one question you want answered? And we've already gotten a response. Andrew Southwick says, does he have a plan in place to get us the point guard we need to take us to that next level?
Well, that is great right there, honestly. That is the one thing. It was funny because as we were talking about this very thing, Maloney said, what is the one thing you want to hear from James Jones? I honestly don't even know. We're going to run out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Tear out of here and run down there and hopefully listen to James Jones at this presser, right, at 10:30. And I honestly don't even know what it is that I expect to hear or even want to hear.
It's interesting you say that because there's nothing that I need to hear from James Jones. The one thing, the thing is, I've never gotten into a press conference where I want to see something.
Yeah, right.
And what I want to see at the press conference is Robert Sarver at the same table. If you look at it from the standpoint, and let's be fair, look at it from the standpoint of the Phoenix Suns, teams like to present a new general manager like it's a new beginning.
Yeah.
So they would want to be able to control the situation and say, this is all about James Jones. This is the excitement of our new general manager. Let's move forward with James Jones. Let's not look back in the past.
Even though he doesn't have the title.
Right. So that's how these pressers normally go. So to be fair, that would be their argument of not having Robert Sarver up there. But for me, it's Robert Sarver. Every time something good happens to the Phoenix Suns, we can find you very easily. You're right up there at the table, ready to say, look at my organization. But whenever bad things happen, all of a sudden, I only see a GM.
Yes.
I only see a president. I only see one person up there. So when you say to Burns and Gambo in the exclusive conversation that's still up at ArizonaSports.com that I take full responsibility, taking responsibility is not then being somewhere else for a press conference.
Interesting.
Taking full responsibility is standing up there and accepting the questions, which I admit it's hard for James Jones to sit there while people are asking questions of Robert Sarver about
yes.
Ryan McDonough. But listen, that's what needs to happen, because for me, James Jones will be a miserable, abject failure if nothing changes with Robert Sarver's involvement. It doesn't matter who you put in that chair until Robert Sarver says, you know what? I'm really good at business. I'm really good at banking.
Yes.
I'm really good at a lot of things.
And
this is one of the things I'm not good at, basketball personnel.
Exactly.
So
right.
I'm never getting involved again.
Yes. You know what? Honestly, now that I'm thinking about it.
And until he says that, it doesn't matter.
Listening to that tweet right there as well, right? I think this tweeter, ladies and gentlemen, is onto something. I really do.
Mr. Southwick?
The reason being, of course, philosophy. Maybe I want to hear that. James Jones, do you have a philosophy in terms of the game of basketball? And what is it, if you do? Philosophy's great, ladies and gentlemen, but it's not tactical. It isn't, you know, thinking that you're going to be able to do something and believing in something, it's great. It's can you actually do it? Philosophy is a beautiful thing, and I'm a big believer in philosophy. You've got to have that kind of philosophy. You've got to have an idea, right? It's got to have some parameters to it, what it is that you believe in, how to accomplish something. What about the implementation of a plan after that? So if you've got a philosophy, what is it? And number two, what's your plan? What's your plan to pursue that philosophy? Because it's not reality. It's just a thought. It's philosophy. What's your plan? Those two things. And right now, it's a very GM thing to do that's happening down there, isn't it? You could talk about him being the interim. I don't even know if they've given him the interim GM tag. They just said in the interim, James Jones is, maybe that's the first question right there. Are you the interim GM? Because the press release said in the interim, James Jones was going to handle the responsibilities, right? So once again, this is going to be a very enlightening presser that's going to happen at 10:30. I'm looking forward to it.
Join Aaron Maloney and Arizona Sports tomorrow, Volkswagen North Scottsdale, 11-1. We'll be giving away Suns and Coyotes tickets, movie passes, and more. Plus, there'll be a hosting an Adopt-a-Dog event in conjunction with Halo Animal Rescue with an on-site food truck. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for details, and we'll see you this Saturday from 11-1 at Volkswagen of North Scottsdale. So you flash the one on the way into work. You walk in, and there is your boss. And your boss says,
all right, well, we all just watched it. We didn't do anything well enough to win tonight. Credit Philadelphia, good football team that took advantage of the things that we didn't do well, got ahead on the points, and we didn't score enough points. We didn't keep them off the board. We didn't do anything well enough to win.
24-6 was the halftime score, and it was already over, and I actually look at Josh Rosen. I mean, to me, Josh Rosen is tied into last night's game because the New York Giant media is flipping out about the 34-13 loss, primarily because the division is so bad that at 1-4 going into the game, the Giants weren't out of it. The Redskins are in first place at 2-2. Now the Eagles have joined them there at 500 by winning and going from 2-3 to 3-3. But it's so bad, everybody was still in it. And now today it's, why is Eli here? Bench Eli forever, start figuring out the future at quarterback, everybody staring down Eli Manning. What's so interesting about it, does that make Saquon Barkley a bad pick? When Barkley went for 130 yards, averaged 10 yards a carry, and had a touchdown, and I'm only talking about rushing. Receiving, he had another 99 yards receiving.
Yes.
So he was, as you said about Josh Rosen a couple weeks ago, he was the best player on the field.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And yet,
just watch.
It was so apparent you don't have a quarterback while Darnold looked pretty good last weekend.
My brothers, right now, ask yourself this. Did you watch Saquon Barkley play last night? Because the stuff he's doing right now on the football field, once again, it's kind of the stuff he was doing at Penn State. Unbelievable.
I ask you this question that's not rhetorical. Could you ever make a mistake drafting the best player in the draft?
He was the best player in the draft. That is the thing I can't get over right now.
And yet, if Darnold plays better at quarterback than Barkley does at running back,
absolutely.
What do you do?
Well, once again, you had... I think about this. Baker Mayfield, based on Onions, was the first player taken.
Yeah,
in this
so he's draft. Off the board when the Giants pick.
So, honestly, looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty good right now, right? The way that it's going, yeah, it's a long, long tail before we're able to say Baker Mayfield's going to be a franchise quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. There's a lot of water that needs to go underneath that bridge. But right now, the one thing that is undeniable is Saquon Barkley is going to be a great pro going forward, barring injury. Mm-hmm. And I guess you could say that about anybody. To your point, Sam Darnold.
What?
Right?
How could you possibly make a mistake when you've drafted the best player in the draft?
It's in the same city. Yeah, that's the incredible thing about it. It's in the same city.
It's crazy. And supposedly the Jets like Darnold 1, Rosen 2, even above Mayfield, even above Lamar Jackson, even above Josh Allen. So it's just, it's fascinating that that game last night ties into Eli's demise, Barkley's rising up, and the question is who got the 2018 draft right? Coming up next, speaking of Josh Rosen, he passed test number 1 in a loss with flying colors and looked great. Test number 2, he didn't look good, but the team won. Now, the real test at Minnesota. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hoping Dave Roberts goes up in flames tonight.
Joe Boo! Dave Roberts, wave Joe Boo around the Diamondbacks clubhouse and say, tonight is the night it ends.
It turns. I can't stand the Brewers either, but I like the Brewers more than I do the Dodgers. This is... We've talked a little bit already about Al Holcomb and the defense and being able to stop one of the more prolific offenses with the Minnesota Vikings. But really what you want to see if you're a Cardinals fan, and this might be an unfair pass, because I know I've fallen into this trap already of just giving the team a pass on the season. You're 1-4. That stinks. But I admit I just care. Okay, how's Josh Rosen going to do? All I'm looking at is how is Josh Rosen going to do? And of course, a great place to find that out is at Minnesota.
Well, crowd's definitely a factor. It's always been anytime you go to Minnesota, the loyalty of their fans and the way they support their team, and they obviously understand that it helps their team tremendously when they're as loud as they are. And then, you know, Coach Zimmer's defense always presents a number of problems with the pressures he brings and the style of defense he plays. He's always had a great defense.
Just amazing when you watch this team on film, of course, defensively, right? Again, number 25 in passing yards allowed per game and number 29 in passing yards per play.
That's not good.
This is a secondary. This is a secondary that includes Harrison Smith, right? Sendejo, their safety, and they also have Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes. They've got Mike Hughes, as a matter of fact. I was talking about this last night on the Big Red Rage. This is a secondary that has got excellent personnel. And they're excellent in third down. Number three third down defense in the National Football League, the Minnesota Vikings. They're number seven in sacks per attempt, even without Everson Griffin.
Paul, I haven't done the math, but is there any chance that if we accept how unbelievable, I don't want to say this in front of Paul, maybe I shouldn't have brought this up, but if we accept just how good the Rams offense is, that if you take the Rams game away from the Vikings defense, are the numbers as bad? Is it just Thursday night getting torched by the Rams, and that's really overinflated how bad the Vikings defense looks statistically? And no, I didn't mention Jared Goff.
Perhaps. I mean, look what the Rams did to the Cardinals. I mean, they held down the Bears the next week. When you consider the following game, the Bears went with six first-half touchdown passes the week after they played the Cardinals. So the Rams are the outlier on a lot of team schedules. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. And the respect is real in the locker room for Sean McVay and what he does and how he dials it up. I would say the inverse when it comes to defense is Mike Zimmer. And what scares me the most is if you're going to start making MEs against his X's and O's, you're done.
Yeah.
Josh Rosen talked about it. I mean, how many times have we seen some alignment issues? You break the huddle and get up the line. No, mm-hmm. You're over here. You're over here. No. You can't make that correction in Minnesota. It's too loud. I mean, it's one thing to have your hand signals for the count and other things, motions and stuff, but if guys are screwing stuff up and you truly need to communicate, and no, here's your assignment or here's where you need to be, you're toast.
No, you know what? I've talked about this so much, especially on the road, and this is going to be a loud, loud stadium. Paul, as I recall, because we were there once before, it was very loud down there on the field, right?
It was loud, and it was luxurious. It is opulent. It is a very nice. Larry talked about it yesterday. It's right there with the Cowboys Stadium in Jerry World. I mean, they spared no expense in putting that thing together.
Luxurious-wise, but again, I don't know how loud it is. I don't know if it's as loud.
It's not Seattle.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's not the old Metrodome, although the old Metrodome, and you guys remember this, most of that noise, I'm not giving it to Vikings fans. It was those stinking amps that were down on the floor on field level. It was like a Motorhead concert. It was so loud with the amps.
I'm telling you right now, that's the one thing Josh Rosen is really going to have to get on top of, right? This is going to be noise like he hasn't heard in a long, long time. Don't tell me about 100,000 people. Don't tell me about that. This stadium, the way that it's constructed, of course, it's going to be incredibly loud.
Well, to Paul's point from earlier, too, I think one thing to look at is if you believe the Cardinals have a chance at winning, because I don't think anybody's ready to stand on the soapbox and say the Cardinals win by 30. So if you're ready to say that you think it's going to be a close game, what are you going to need? You're going to need timeouts. And if you're wasting your timeouts because of the play clock in the first quarter or in the third quarter because guys are lining up wrong and you can't get them in the right spot, and all of a sudden now where there's supposed to be 9 or 10 seconds left on the play clock, you're down to 2 or 3 and you got to call a timeout. There's no way that you can come back and stop the clock or just reset the offense like you need to.
And remember, if you don't sustain some drives and convert some third downs, your defense just went 100 snaps.
Man, Paulie.
98 when you include the plays that were wiped out by flags. So they essentially went 100 snaps. 92 in the box score, they essentially went 98. A lot of those guys played over 100 snaps because they were on special teams as well. If you go out there and the time of possession is 40-20 again, Your defense is going to wear down, and then you have a Thursday night game?
Yeah.
The offense needs to sustain some drives.
But I also think of Mason Cole. Mason Cole last night on the Big Red Rage, right? Had the opportunity to talk to him. Here's a center, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think it's important that he understands what's going on? Yeah. Say yes, of course. Well, you've got Mason Cole, you got Josh Rosen, and Christian Kirk. You've got some young guys that are going to be out there playing. I can tell you right now, one of the biggest things you're going to have to overcome is the noise. The absolutely disconcerting, unsettling feeling that you have when somebody is screaming at you 3 feet away and you can't hear what he's saying. I'm telling you right now, you have to get on top of that. Well, that is a weird sensation when you line up and you feel the noise like a million needles going right through you. You've got to overcome that and settle down and focus and concentrate.
And the other thing we talked about with Mason Cole is, how apt are defensive coordinators to get exotic? Because this game is brought to you by the word exotic. Everyone used that word when they're talking about Mike Zimmer's defense. But how much more exotic and creative and just unorthodox is he going to become just due to the fact you have a rookie center and a rookie quarterback? So now if you think Mike Zimmer in general has these exotic blitzes, what's he going to do against a Cardinals team featuring rookies as decision makers up front?
Exactly.
It's going to get crazy.
That's exactly what I'm talking about in terms of Mason Cole.
To Paul's point, this is what Mike McCoy said yesterday of where the Minnesota defense lives.
Anytime you play Coach Zimmer and his defense, you know, they've always been that way, regardless wherever he's been. You know, they live often in third and long situation. That's where you historically, when you play this team, you always look at the numbers during the year, and there aren't a lot of third and shorts. They play, you know, third and long. You know, he's a great evaluator of talent, and I think he's got a great idea of, you know, what type of player he wants to fit into his system. So I think, as you see, as guys go down, the next guy steps up, and that's what the good teams do.
I like talking about Josh Rosen, but to me, this game is simple. It's just both sides of the ball. It's David Johnson, David Johnson, David Johnson. If they are able to get David Johnson going, that the Minnesota offense is on the bench, the clock keeps rolling, things are good. And if David Johnson is putting up the numbers in the Mike McCoy offense that he has in the last 5 weeks, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's going to be a trial.
And specifically, get David Johnson on a linebacker. Wolf, I think you brought it up earlier in the week. Get him on Anthony Barr. Get him on some of these linebackers where he's going to have the advantage.
Sure. Yes.
Do something somehow, some way, where you can exploit the matchup disadvantage that is David Johnson. They haven't done enough of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And expect play action, too, in terms of the Arizona Cardinals throwing the ball. More on this as the show unfolds.
Well, if Wolf wasn't going to Minnesota and he was sitting around at home, here's what he'd be doing on Sunday.
Five-star game.
Oh, no.
Five-star games.
Please.
Five. Yes. The NFL's best games with Doug and Wolf.
Brought to you by Fry's Food Stores. Fresh food, famous low prices. Sign up and save now at friesfood.com.
All right, Basinonians, gather around the transistor. There is one five-star game. And
now
only
I'm
one.
Feeling Minnesota right now.
Kansas City at New England. One five-star game. The Kansas City Chiefs, of course, undefeated at 5-0. The New England Patriots at 3-2. A disappointing start for them. The king of the league is going to host dignitaries at Foxborough, Basinonians. Patrick Mahomes has been the toast of the league so far this season. This is where the rubber meets the road in terms of development. Tom Brady will not be ignored. I'm not going to be ignored, Bill. And that is your five-star game.
Five-star game with Doug and Wolf.
I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
Wolf's NFL five-star games brought to you by Fry's Food Stores. Fresh food, famous low prices. Sign up and save now at friesfood.com.
So good.
Bear, did you say something without the bear call right there?
Yeah, I forgot.
Okay, I see. Coming up next, what does Thursday Night Football and Josh Rosen have in common? And what's the number one thing James Jones needs to answer to you, the Suns fans, today at his 10:30 presser? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.